Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
The pool complex I work at is pretty typical. It's not in the center of the city. It's closer to the edge. And as such, has loads of space to work with. There are gyms and courts and several large pools that it's comprised of, all interconnected with warm and pleasantly humid plexiglass tunnels, extra appreciated at this time of year. Sometimes, as I'm walking through one such tunnel in my shorts, sandals, and lifeguard shirt, I'll catch a glimpse of someone outside, shivering through their coat in the snow, and I can't help but feel relieved to be on this side of the glass. My boss is an eccentric lady, the manager. She laughs and smiles a lot, but damn if she doesn't always look so tired. It's like I can see the stress aging her in actual, real time. She needs to take it a little easier, is what I think. We're just leisure facility workers after all. I consider telling her this in a meeting she's called me into. I'm not concerned. We get on well, and I'm a good employee. I try to think of a diplomatic way to word my sentiments, but she begins to speak before I have a chance. How long have you been working here now, Dan? She asks me, tapping her finger against the desk. About a year, I think, I reply, and there is a pause. I can't quite put my finger on it, but something suddenly changes. The atmosphere becomes a little more strained, a little more tense. I shift uncomfortably. Kate, my boss, glances up from the desk and over my shoulder. I turn around to see one of my colleagues behind me through the open doorway. Nice guy. He's been here longer than me, I think. But the moment my eyes meet his, he turns away and heads off and away out of sight. I look back to Kate, and the silence stretches on. I manage an awkward laugh, but she does not smile with me now. Employees that have been with us for as long as you have, Dan, are given the opportunity to earn a little extra money. Oh, okay, I reply, eyebrows raised. She rubs her wrist absentmindedly, rubbing a thumb over the V she has tattooed there as she looks at the wall in thought. We run night sessions here sometimes. Did you know that? She says, still not looking directly at me. For real? I ponder this. No, I didn't. Is this a recent thing? No, she replies, and does not elaborate any further. More silence. I shift with discomfort in my seat. The air is, as it always is in the complex, humid, but goosebumps shoot up across my arms regardless. Kate, is everything okay? She rises from a chair. Come with me, please. Silently, I stand and I follow on beside her as we walk through the complex. The complex stays open pretty late into the night, for the gyms at least, but the pools will be closing in about 10 minutes. It's dark, and aside from the falling snow, I cannot see much of anything beyond the grass when we pass through the tunnels. Dan, once employees have been with us for a year, then their hours get reduced somewhat. I start to protest, with surprise, but she quiets me. Don't panic, your pay remains the same. It goes up, actually. But once a week, we'll need you to spend a few hours in the night pool. I try to process this. A few hours at night? Why haven't I heard anything about this? As I said, it's just once a week. She leads me down corridor after corridor, through a set of locker rooms, and past our least popular pool. Nothing wrong with the pool itself. It's just an unusual shape and a little further out of the way than the other three. Kate leads me through one of the doors at the back, past steaming pipes and whirring filters. Round a corner we go, beneath a blinking emergency exit sign. And I find myself starting to get a little anxious. My gut is telling me something, but I don't know how to respond. So this is the way to the night pool then, I ask. That's right, she says quietly. A pool that I didn't know about until just now. For a session I didn't know even existed. Kate says nothing, and we find ourselves at the top of a tiled staircase, one that leads down and down into the humid gloom. Kate wavers on the top step. She grips tight to the metal rail. Then, with a slow sigh, she descends, and, against my better judgment, I follow. Down, into the dark. Kate's sandals clack against the tile as we go down, and mine echo softly behind as I follow. This is pretty creepy, you know, I say with a weak chuckle. But again, I receive no reply. My breathing becomes shallow. Kate, I say to nothing. God damn it, Kate? I'm sorry about this, Dan, she mutters. I'm sorry, all right, but this is what we need from you. And we arrive at last at the base of the stairs before an open, tiled arch in the wall. The world beyond is red. Low, gloomy red, as the room is awash in nothing but red light. Jeez, I murmur in disbelief, stepping forwards, and together with Kate, we step through the secretive, underground pool. A deep, soft humming sound rumbles overhead through the pipework. Water drips from somewhere unseen. I look around and try to take it all in. There stands a lone lifeguard chair by the edge of the pool. There are some lockers against one wall, and as for the pool itself. The pool is rectangular, as one would expect, and the water is dark, black almost in this light. But the most curious part are the seven rivers. The pool, despite at its core looking much the same as any other, has seven offshooting waterways. They stretch off and away through gaps in the tiled walls, through watery tunnels leading away into the dark. Kate, come on, what is this place? Kate grabs me suddenly by the shoulders, and I swear in alarm, heart pounding in fear. Dan, she says, her eyes staring desperately into mine. Just do your job. Just for 2 hours. Just sit in that chair and do your job. You must, you hear me? You must. And she speaks with such cold conviction, such force of will, that I cannot help but be swayed to believe what she is saying. So, I just sit there and what? And do your job, she says again, releasing me. She is shaking. 2 hours, tonight. The next week, I'll need you to do two more. You'll have greater flexibility with your daytime hours, and you won't need to come in quite so much either. Thank you. I'll be upstairs if you need me. Wait, that's it? You want me down here right now, alone? Kate looks away and wipes her eyes. She starts to walk back to the arch. Kate, wait, is this a joke? A prank? She shoots a look back at me over her shoulder. Her expression makes it very clear that this is no joke. 2 hours, Dan, she says, as the pipes hiss and the filter hungrily gurgles in the gloom. Just 2 hours, then I'll see you upstairs, and you can go home. And with that, she departs, leaving me alone in the underground pool, bathed in red. I stand there for a minute, just gobsmacked, unsure what to do. This is insane. This creepy-ass pool all empty and alone down here in the darkness. I look around once again at the 7 tunnels. Where the hell do those even lead? I wonder out loud. I look over to the lifeguard chair, a still and silent sentinel above the dark water, and I glance to my watch. 2 hours. She wants you down here for 2 hours. I wander over to the chair, my footsteps suddenly sounding much louder in the eerie quiet. The water laps and churns softly against the rim of the pool near my feet. This is crazy. This must be a joke, surely. I should just go back upstairs and refuse. But I don't. Something about Kate's manner really frightened me. So I'll just do it this once, see what the big deal is, and then make a decision from there. So I clamber up into the lifeguard chair and settle myself into place. The lone watcher over a sea of black and red. The water churns, the humidity pinpricks my skin with sweat, and I watch. I watch the water, as is my duty. Nothing happens, by the way. Not this first time. I start to feel a little queasy as the hours draw to a close, but I put that down to just a little dehydration. And when my time is finally done, I jump from the chair and hasten away, not wishing to spend an extra second in this unsettling place. Kate is gone by the time I return upstairs and through the complex to her office, so I simply go home and bring it up with her the following day. Kate, I tell her, I don't want to do this. You can keep the pay and the flexible hours. Just don't send me back down there again. Dan, I'm not going to discuss this with you any further. I'm sorry, but this is just the way it is. Kate, look, it creeps me out, right? You will go down again. No, I won't. Yes, she shouts. You will. Slamming a hand down onto a desk. And silence falls in the immediate area. She pauses, then bursts into tears with her hands in her face. I don't bother saying anything further. I just walk out. What is there to say? I speak to one of my colleagues a little later that day, a guy called Rex. I ask him about the pool, and if he has any answers for me. You just have to do it, he mutters, eyes downcast. If you don't, then it'll fall to somebody else, right? How long has Francesca been working here? You like her, right? I stutter in reply. I mean, I don't know about that. How long has she been working here now, man? Well, about 11 months, I guess. 11 months. Yeah, that's right. Rex doesn't say another word. He just rubs his wrist in thought. I look down and make the connection for the first real time. That is the exact same place as Kate's. It's of 3 eyes positioned next to each other. 3. I mean to ask him about it, but he just claps me on the back and strides away. So, a week passes and I find myself again at the top of those gloomy stairs, the ones descending down into the red shade. I scratch my arm in thought, paused, considering. Is my job really worth it? I think to myself. Is it worth it to go back down to that awful place? You're joking, right? Comes the rebuttal. It's 2 hours of sitting on your ass. 2 hours, and you get to keep one of the best jobs you've ever had. You like it here. You've just been given a raise. It's 2 hours in a red room. Man up and get the hell down. Fine, I think to myself, steadily descending the tiled stairs. But there's something else going on here. Something not right. And I'll find out what it is. Kate barely looks me in the eyes these days. Something's seriously up with her, and it's scaring me. I take a deep breath as the levels of light lower and shift to a more total, foreboding red. I step down onto the damp tiled floor of the lowermost level and walk cautiously through the arch and into the pool room. As before, entirely empty. One pool with 7 offshooting rivers. Rivers that run through tunnels in the tile, leading away through the dark. And the lifeguard chair, waiting patiently for my arrival. I head over and climb on it. Sitting with a small sigh and my hands clasped, I look out over the face of the water. Dark. Black. It swallows the feeble red light and softly churns, demanding more, perhaps. I stare at the water, waiting and willing the time to go faster. Until I zone out.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chain to the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Movement. I'm shocked from my careless dozing by what I assume to be movement in the water. In a panic, I grip the sides of the chair and lean forward, eyes wide and staring at the very center of the pool. My heartbeat suddenly rapid and painful. I wait and I watch, waiting for confirmation of what it is I saw, hoping beyond hope that it was nothing more than my imagination. I stare at the spot in the pool for a minute or more, and just as my heart is beginning to slow and I'm allowing myself to relax, I see it again. It's subtle, but it's there. A small splash in the water, a ripple and a churn. "Damn," I mumble, then a little louder. "Damn it, damn it, damn it." It's just a filter, perhaps, bubbling from the bottom of the pool. But, as if in response to this thought, the splash comes again, and I watch in cold horror as the water rises and steam drifts from the pool's surface. A long, dark shape slithers its way through the red shadow towards me, then slinks back down and into the deep. Screw this. I have 10 minutes left on the clock by my count, but I'm done. I'm out. I leap from the lifeguard chair and stagger my way across the slippery poolside tile, back through the arch to the steamy underground back rooms and up the stairs and into the complex, racing through corridor after corridor. Kate is still here tonight, it seems. I find upon my arrival at her office, red face and breath shallow. "What the hell is this, Kate?" I shout at her. Tell me what the hell is going on." "You think I wanted this?" she mutters in a low voice, leaning forwards. She doesn't seem surprised by my outburst in the slightest. "You think I wanted to be a part of this hell, Dan?" She scratches at the V-tattoo she has on her wrist. "We do our duty as lifeguards." "As lifeguards?" I allow myself a laugh and throw out my hands. "This is insane. Tell me, Kate, what exactly is in the pool below our complex?" She looks at me, then looks at her watch. "You left your position early," she says. "No one is watching the pool. No one is watching the..." I begin, incredulous. Then I stop, close my eyes, and take a breath. "Kate," I say to her, "I quit." And without another word, I turn and stride from her office. I leave the complex behind, shivering in the snow. And despite how much I used to love my job, I intend to never return. I intend... That night, I suffer from terrible, terrible nightmares. In them, I find myself struggling to breathe, coughing and spluttering, my lungs filling up with putrid, dark water as I scrabble for the surface. The surface that only ever gets further and further away. Its direction keeps changing. And I'm being watched. They're watching me through the water. I lose count how many times I awake during the night. And by 5 a.m, I'm too terrified to return to sleep. I spend the next day seeking new employment. But that night, the dreams are the same, if not worse. The next night, they come back, renewed. And the night after that. I find myself unable to stay awake during the day. The dreams find me at any hour. I'm too exhausted to cook proper meals. I stop trusting myself to drive my car. And when I can take it no more, I am right back in Kate's office, dishevelled and desperate. And I ask her, how do I make them stop? How do I stop the dreams? She stands and steps over to me. She draws me into a hug. Just do your job, she says softly. You're a lifeguard. Then she says, I'm sorry, Dan. I'm so, so sorry. There is no other way. So, I return to my job. Once a week, I do my shift in that awful, monstrous, subterranean pool. Sometimes the water remains still. Sometimes the nights are entirely uneventful. And sometimes I see shapes slithering around in the darkness, disrupting the pool surface. And my greatest fear remains that one day, one of the things in the water is going to clamber up onto the tile, and I will not be able to summon the constitution to escape. The nightmares only come the night before my shift these days, and they are not as intense. But I can handle that. I can deal with it. They are only as heavy as is needed, I suppose, to remind me to do my duty, to do my job, to watch the water, week after week. My duty goes on. How long do I have to do this? I ask Kate. I ask Rex. I ask the others who have been here longer than myself. But none of them give me an answer. And one day, something happens that is worse than my greatest fear. Worse than one of the things in the darkness climbing up into the light. And it's so predictable. I can't believe I didn't see it coming. So classically, painfully obvious that I consider myself an idiot for not preparing for it sooner. I am forced to do my job. My job as a lifeguard. Because one terrible night, I see a boy in the water. It begins as any other. I'm uncomfortable and scared as I sit in my chair, as I watch the water quietly churn and listen to the pipes above me hiss and rumble. Perhaps it's going to be another quiet night, I hope, preemptively. Perhaps there'll be no disturbances tonight. And that's when I see him. That's when I see the boy. A kid. A human boy just drifting through one of the tunnels, down one of the rivers and into the center of the pool, paddling and pulled along by an impossible current, one that I cannot see. Help! He cries out, and I can see the fear on his face, washed in red. Dad? Dad, where are you? I can't believe what I'm seeing. Hey, I shout. Hey, kid, over here. But the boy does not react to my voice. He simply looks all around himself, spinning in a circle, calling out for his father. Dad, where are you? His voice echoes around the tarred walls as the deep red light shimmers across the face of the water. Kid, hey, kid. I try blowing my whistle. He does not react. I jump down from the chair to the tile and wave my arms, but the kid just can't see me. It's as if he's looking right through me when he turns my way, and the poor little lad starts to cough. He's swallowing mouthfuls of water, and he splutters and chokes. His strokes become more erratic as he keeps on calling for help. He is drowning, and the only one who can save him is me. My blood runs cold as I see further disturbances in the water at the far edges, dark and slithering shapes, and Kate's voice blares like a siren through my head. Do your job. As a lifeguard, you must do your job. Time seems to slow a little. I watch as the boy starts struggling for real, as he begins to dip below the water, splashing and crying out for help. For help. But of course, I'm the only one who can hear him. I grit my teeth. With jaws set, my blood, once cold, now surging, fires me up with a blast of adrenaline. I take a long step forwards, then another. It feels slow, but I'm moving fast. I can tell. I follow procedure without even realizing. 3 quick blasts of the whistle, and I've shot myself forwards from the edge of the pool. I'm diving forwards, leaping from the edge and out towards the darkness of the unknown. The boy is just a few feet ahead. He draws closer and closer, and I hit the water with a great splash, and a rush of bubbles burst up past my ears. For a moment, I'm trapped in time. I'm adrift in the void, lost and alone in the watery darkness. The pool is impossibly, unfathomably deep. I cannot see the bottom. Something massive and slow lurks far below me, a shadowed thing that writhes with motions like the waves of a dark sea against the bitter shore. And I know that whatever it is can see me. All around in the water, the slithery shapes draw close. Time returns to its regular speed, and I burst up for air and power through the darkness towards my target, towards the boy, lost, alone, and in need of help. "I've got you," I splutter as I shake off the void and grab him beneath the arms. Immediately turning, I power my way towards the edge, with the boy trembling and shaking behind me, arms and legs pumping as fast as I am able, though I cannot lose that terrible feeling of being flanked by the things in the water, getting closer and closer, closer and closer. I do not know what would happen if they were to reach me, but they do not. Not today, at least. I reach the edge, and with a roar of strength, I bring round the boy, and holding him to my chest, I clamber clumsily up and onto the side. I roll away from the edge of the pool, still clutching him as I try to put as much distance between us and the water as I'm able. Shooting a look back reveals those menacing dark shapes slink quietly back into the depths, and I come to an exhausted halt, looking down at the boy and moving to help him sit up as I catch my breath. But there is no boy. Not anymore. Just a boy-sized shape comprised entirely of water. And the second that I comprehend this fact, the water acts as one would expect it to. It just melts right through my hands, splashing down across the tiles and washing over and away. A solid, and then formless. Gone. Still panting, I push myself up to the wall. I rest myself against it, soaked, and I just sit there for a while, processing, trying to think, to put it all together, and failing. Feeling a subtle itch on my wrist, I look down, and there, forming before my eyes beneath the pool's red glow, is an eye, a thin, dark, Roman numeral 1. It looks just like a tattoo. "What does it mean?" I ask Kate upon the completion of my shift. I stand before her, bedraggled and afraid at the complex entrance. I had to rush out to catch her before she left. The snow barrels down and the Arctic wind burns my wet skin. But I don't care. Not in this moment. The lights through the complex doors behind me send my shadow out long across the snow and illuminates Kate's face and shines in her eyes. Eyes that look sadly back into mine. The wind sends the tails of her coat billowing out to the side. "What does it mean?" I shout above the gale, showing her my wrist, and she draws down her sleeve to reveal her own. The V, the Roman numeral 5. "Seven souls," she whispers, in a voice I can barely hear. "Seven rivers, seven tunnels, and seven souls to be saved. And then, we can be free." "I don't understand. Kate, please." "Seven souls, Daniel," she says as she looks back up at me, in a voice rich with sorrow and apology, with warning and with hope. "Save seven souls, and your duty is done. We are the sentinels, and the lives are ours to guard." Without another word, she turns and walks away and into the storm.
Oh.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.